This morning, go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, I want to read verses 15 through 17. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for just your love and your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Father, again for the gift of salvation, the gift of a relationship with you. I thank you, Father, for just what you are doing in the lives of your people. I thank you, Father, for what you will continue to do in the lives of your people as you have begun a good work in us and will continue that good work until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we do get our glorified bodies. And Father, we are changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we see our Savior face to face, and we are as he is. Lord, having glorified bodies, Lord, thank you, Father, that death has been conquered. And thank you, Father, sin has been paid for, a sin debt that we could not pay. Lord, that the perfect life was lived that we cannot live. But thank you, Father, Lord Jesus Christ not only gives us the victory, but Lord, he walks with us to encourage us. He walks with us, Lord, to give us the wisdom we need along life's road. And Father, thank you for just this time of year that we can celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts this morning. Father, we commit this hour unto you. We ask that you would establish our thoughts, that you would guide us according to your will. Encourage us, teach us, Lord, whatever it is we need this morning. I pray, Father, that we would be yielded to you as you have your way with us. As always, Father, I pray that you speak to the hearts of the children. Lord, help the word of God to take root in their hearts. And I pray, Father, that they would come to know Christ as their Savior, as the best friend that they can have in their life. And Lord, that they would continue to grow, Lord, in their faith, coming to know you. And Lord, having a closer walk with you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You might think Genesis chapter 2, and we're in verses 15 through 17 to start with. But I want you to think about the fact that there is a curse. I guess you could say it this way, the curse of Christmas. And that's my title this morning, is the curse of Christmas. And it might sound kind of strange because it's like, wait a minute, I thought Christmas was all about joy and happiness. I thought it was about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And it is, but there's a reason for Jesus Christ, and it is, there's a reason, I should say, for the Christmas season. There's a reason for the birth of Christ, and it is because of the result of sin back in the Garden of Eden, back in Genesis chapter 2. Notice what it says in verse 15, the Lord God took the man that he had made out of the dust of the ground, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Put him in this beautiful place. The atmosphere was perfect. The weather was perfect. You talk about not too hot, not too cold. I mean, just the perfect place, the perfect atmosphere. Everything was perfect. God gives Adam just the privilege of being able to take care of the garden with one stipulation. Just one stipulation, and that is verse 16. God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. I want us to be reminded this morning the reason for the Christmas season. The reason for the birth of Jesus Christ is because of man's sin, because one man chose to sin against his Creator, which caused sin to pass upon all, and with that came death. But again, we have the victor. Jesus Christ is the victor for us over death and over the grave and over hell. We have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, I'm not going to leave us this morning with a humdrum heart or with just feeling sad and guilty. That's not my intent. When we're done, you will walk away with joy in your heart. You will walk away with a bounce in your step because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. But again, just reminding us of the reason of the birth of Jesus Christ, it is because of the curse that was passed upon this world and upon every life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and to destroy." The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And that being the devil came into that perfect garden. He came into that perfect garden on a certain day and he tempted Adam. He tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. They took that forbidden fruit, they ate of it, and because of that, sin and death passed upon all. They were kicked out of the garden and the ground was cursed. For time's sake, we won't read all of it or go into it, but when you read in your Bible, God cursed the ground. He said thorns would come of the ground. He said man will till the ground and he will sweat as he works the ground. The ground will not yield its strength unto the man. And to this day, we have a life that's full of toil, a life that's full of trouble, a life that's full of hardship. But Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I don't know about you, but I am not satisfied with just the life that I have in Christ. I want more. I want more of a life with Christ. I want to come to know the Lord even more than what I already know now. I want to experience more of his joy, more of his peace, more of his comfort in my life. And Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So as we think this morning about the curse of Christmas, we think about the origin of the curse. Look at Genesis chapter 3. If you're still in Genesis chapter 2, look at the next chapter, Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse 17 and 18. Just thinking about and looking at the origin of the curse. And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." Think about this. There was a time when there were no thorns and no thistles. I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you have, you've probably been pricked by thorns in your lifetime. And I'm sure you probably have stepped on thistles before. It's not a nice feeling when you step on a thistle barefoot. And it's not a nice feeling when you prick yourself with a thorn, whether it's on a rose or some other type of bush. You think about, I love raspberries and blackberries. And when I was a kid, there was a spot out in the woods away from our house that had just a wild blackberry bush. And me and some friends, we'd go over there and we'd be picking the blackberries. But man, you sometimes would get pricked with those thorns, those little thorns that are on those bushes. But you know what? It didn't stop me from getting the blackberry because there was something sweet on that bush that I wanted. And no matter how many times I would get pricked, I just kept going back because there was something sweet. Look, we live in a very thorny world that can prick us and hurt us at times, but there's something sweet about walking with Jesus Christ in this world. He is the sweetness of this world, and he came into this world for a purpose. Now we know, I mean, tonight when we have the little stable scene up here and you see Mary and Joseph and you see the manger there and you see the baby and the manger, again, it reminds us of what the Bible talks about there in Luke chapter 2. Talks about the birth of Christ, talks about the shepherds coming and seeing what they were told that they would see, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying there, and just the fact that that is Jesus Christ, that's God's gift to the world, as the angels would say that. In fact, you can go there real quick. Go to Luke chapter 2. I know we were in Luke chapter 2 last week as well, but look at Luke chapter 2. Now again, like I said, Christmas is all it is. It is about joy and happiness that Jesus Christ brings into this world, the whole reason why we celebrate Christmas. I mean, there's just people that come December the 26th, they're preparing for next year. I mean, they just love Christmas so much that there's probably somebody where their house stays decorated all year. I have a friend, I got a Filipino friend back in Wisconsin who we used to tease him a lot because there was this one Christmas season, he did not take down his Christmas tree, I think, until June. I mean, he just left it up. And we just teased him about it and stuff. But there are people, I know there are people, because there's somebody I know at FedEx that, they love Christmas. I mean, they count the days down when they can start counting the days down until Christmas. And there are people like that that just love it. Because, again, like I said before, there's something about the season. Not everybody knows the reason for the season. Not everybody knows the reason why there's Christmas trees and lights and why it seems people are happy during this season. But again, it all starts with Jesus Christ. Notice in Luke chapter 2, look at verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Jesus Christ brings joy to all people. Not everybody will receive that gift and that joy. But he came to bring joy into the world. Not to take the hardships and sorrows of the world away, but to help us to have joy in the midst of hardships. Do you know that when we're surrounded by sorrow, we can still have joy? When there's fear, it can be replaced with peace. Often Jesus would say to his disciples, "Fear not." He was letting them know that there's nothing to fear because I'm here. Jesus came into the world to bring joy. He came into the world. He was born to bring reconciliation between us and God, to reconcile us back to God. If you notice in Genesis chapter 2, there was one tree in the garden that they were not to eat of, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You realize the devil used that tree to cause two to sin against their God, to sin against their maker. And yet Jesus Christ came to be obedient to one tree, and that was the tree of the cross. He came to obviously lay down his life, to come pay the sin debt that no one could pay so that we could have a relationship with the Lord. There's a reason for Christmas. There's a reason for the birth of Jesus Christ, and that is Jesus came, obviously, to take care of what was done in the Garden of Eden. Would you look at Romans chapter 5, if you would? Romans chapter 5. Message won't be too long this morning, but just helping us to be reminded of and to see as we celebrate the Christmas season, as we look at those nativity scenes. Again, you go along the road, many people have the nativity scene in their front yard. Churches will have them. Some churches will have a live nativity scene on the outside with live people and live animals. There was a place in Wisconsin where I used to live in a town many years ago that there was a church, a Lutheran church that they did. They would have a live nativity scene, and I thought it was pretty cool. And I'm glad that obviously I wasn't the one that had to take care of the animals or anything. But again, you see these nativity scenes, and people, they know, they see that, they know what it represents. But again, a lot of people don't know why. Why did Jesus have to be born as a baby? Why couldn't he just come stepping down from glory as he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and just say, "I'm here, I'm going to pay the sin debt"? Because he had to live that perfect life. He had to live the perfect life that no one could live. He had to willingly go to the cross, walk to the cross, though he was beaten beyond recognition, and willingly lay down his life. But you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and we see the root of the curse, the ground was cursed, why man was cursed, was because of sin. Romans 5 verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Because of Adam's sin,
Sin entered into the world, and because of sin, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's not, again, according to God's word, according to truth, there's not one single person that has not been born a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's because of the curse. It's because of the curse that was passed upon mankind, upon this world, back in the Garden of Eden when man sinned against God. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The root was sin. The root of the curse was sin, but the result of sin was death. For the wages of sin is death. Every single person is doomed to die that is born into this world. You might think, Pastor, this is not really, you know, a loving Christmas message. I mean, we should be hearing a message of love, and this is the message of love. God's gift. Again, notice what it says in Romans 6:23, and I believe as God's people, we need to, yes, celebrate Christmas, celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but also remember why. Because you know what? When you remember why something happened, when you remember why Jesus came, it really does help you to be filled with more joy because he came to die for you. He came to give you a gift, that gift of salvation, that gift of love, that gift of peace, that gift of joy, that gift of acceptance, that gift of comfort. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gift. When you look at a nativity scene that you'll look at tonight and you see everywhere that you go, and you see that manger and you see that baby in that manger, you as a child of God, you see your Savior. You see the Prince of Peace. You see your Redeemer. You see your King of Kings and Lord of Lords in that manger, who willingly stepped down from his glory to come for you, to live a life for you that you could not live, so that you and I could live with him. In other words, we wouldn't be able to. And otherwise, we would not be able to if he had not done what he did. The origin of the curse. But yet Jesus Christ came to overcome that curse. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Again, you think about the curse of Christmas. You think about the curse that was passed upon mankind, and yet Jesus Christ willingly came. Willingly came so that curse could be taken away. Willingly came so that every single person that will receive him as their Lord and Savior and receive the gift that God has for them can have the peace that passeth all understanding, can have the joy that you can only have in the midst of a storm, can have the comfort that you can only have through Jesus Christ when you're surrounded by turmoil and trial. Again, people this time of year and all every day of the year, they need Jesus Christ. What's going to help somebody overcome the tragedies of 2021? What's going to help somebody overcome the tragedy of what happened in our community? Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can help somebody truly overcome the tragedies of life. Again, someone might think, well, why doesn't God just take away all the sin of the world? Why doesn't he just remove all of the people that he knows are going to commit evil? Why doesn't God just take it away, give us a perfect place? Well, he did, and man ruined it. Adam and Eve, they forsook God's word. They forsook God's commandment. They took it upon themselves to do something God said not to. He even told them, if you do it, you're going to die. Death will come into your life. But you know what? I'm reminded of another time in Scripture. The Bible records that when God's people, when the Israelites, he brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out with a mighty hand. He did great wonders in Egypt to show that he's God and only he's God. And he brought out his people. They get into the desert and they're there for a while and they start complaining to God that He's brought them out there to kill them. There's no food. There's no water. I mean, they just did not like what God was seemingly doing to them. And God allowed fiery serpents to come and bite people, and people were dying because they were being bitten by poisonous snakes. And they cried out to Moses and asked Moses to pray to God to take away the fiery serpents, take away the problem, take away the evil. And yet God didn't take away the snakes, but what he did, he made a way of escape. Because the Bible says that he causes Moses to make a brazen serpent and put this brazen serpent, this serpent made out of brass, put it on a pole, set the pole up, and tell the people that when you get bit by the poisonous snake, if you will just believe by faith and trust God and look to the serpent made of brass, then you'll live. Now, that kind of sounds ridiculous to some people. What do you mean I have to look at this brazen serpent and I will live? Doesn't God know that the poison in my body is burning? Where I've gotten bitten is swelling up. It's starting to just look grotesque. I mean, why doesn't God just take away the pain? Why doesn't God just take away the one that's causing the problem? Because God wants us to look to him. God's given a way of escape. God's given his son, Jesus Christ, to help us to have joy in the midst of a storm, to have comfort when there's misery, to have peace when there seems to be no peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. God has given us a way that we can truly have an abundant life. And Jesus again said, I've come to give life, or that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, you think about the overcoming of the curse. You got the origin of the curse back in the beginning, the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Sin and death has passed upon all. Why doesn't God just take away sin? Why God just take away death, let everybody live? Because he wants everybody to willingly choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and choose to accept the gift that God has for them. And that gift is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was, you're a sinner condemned to die. You have a sin nature. You're born with a sin nature and you are doomed to die. You're doomed to be separated from a loving God because of sin. But being made a curse for us, it says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus' first coming, his first advent, first time he came obviously as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He came as God's sacrifice for the sin of mankind. And again, the Bible says in Galatians 3, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He came, obviously, to conquer that curse. He came to remove that curse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, he being God, him being Jesus, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus' first coming, he was born in that stable. He was laid in that manger. He came as a lowly servant so that he would and could conquer sin for us. He was made sin for us, he who knew no sin. Think about this. I know that you've thought about this before. And you probably do during this time think about the fact that Jesus came to robe himself in flesh, to live a life as we do, to suffer like we do. He suffered hardships. He suffered hunger. He suffered thirst. He suffered rejection. He suffered people calling him names, doing him wrong, mistreating him, misusing him. And the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Think about when he was hanging on the cross, God poured all of sin upon that sacrifice. Jesus became the sin. He became that sacrifice that we could not. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus came so that he could robe every person that puts their faith and trust in him in his righteousness. Because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We know the Bible tells us that all of our good works will not get us to heaven. Every good thing we do will not make us accepted with God, but Jesus Christ does. The righteousness of Christ makes us accepted with God, having put our faith and trust in him. The first time he came as a sacrifice for sin. The first time he came, he hung on a cross. All the sin of mankind would pour out on him. And honestly, we can't even understand that. We can't even understand how Jesus took upon him on the cross the sin of the world. Every sin you've committed in your life and will commit was poured out on Jesus Christ. And yet he did it willingly. He did it because of the love of the Father, for God so loved the world. He did it so that you and I could have his righteousness. We could be robed in his righteousness. He came the first time, no doubt, to conquer sin for us, no doubt to be a curse. Curses is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He allowed himself to do that the first time, but the second time he's coming, go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, he's coming again. The first time he came lowly as a servant. He came and he was born and he was laid in a manger in a stable. Not everybody received him. He was rejected. He came unto his own. His own received him not, the Bible tells us. Many looked at him as just an ordinary man. Those in Nazareth looked on him and said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Are not his brothers and sisters here?" Yet he was not the carpenter's son. He was not Joseph's son. He was the Son of God. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit. The seed was planted in her womb. Joseph was a stepfather, not the biological father. That's why you don't see him mentioned in Scripture after the birth of Christ. Well, I take that back. When Jesus is 12 years old, it says Mary and Joseph went up to the temple looking for Jesus because he had not been with them. That's it. You don't see any more about Joseph because Joseph is not his father. God of heaven is his father. But the second time he's coming, I want us to see, look at Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." You know, it's amazing how the devil always wants to have counterfeits. He always wants to do what God is doing, but with a twist. Because you read on, in the last days, in the days of the tribulation, when the Antichrist is reigning, he will cause people to have the mark of the beast either in their right hand or on their forehead. What does the Bible say is going to be in the forehead of God's people? His name. His name. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Why did Jesus come the first time? He came, obviously, to be God's gift to the world. God's gift of the payment for our sin. God's gift of joy to the world. As the angels already declared, the one angel declared, glory, that there would be joy. He brings joy into this world. He brings peace into this world. But the second time, his second coming, obviously will be coming to gather the saints of God, gather God's people, gather those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Again, you notice in the Garden of Eden, they ate of the forbidden fruit. They ate of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you were to continue reading in Genesis, God kicked them out of the garden lest they would eat of the fruit of the tree of life. The Garden of Eden was destroyed during the flood, but the tree of life was taken into heaven. As we see in Revelation 22, where there the tree of life. There's coming a day where we will eat of that tree of life that bears 12 manner of fruits and yields her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. But again, what I want us to focus on is the fact that Jesus came to take away that curse. He came to pay the penalty for the curse that was passed upon mankind and upon this world. The last place I want you to think about is go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Again, Christmas is just that. It is a Christian holiday. It is a time where God's people celebrate the fact that the God of heaven would come down to this earth that he created. Come down to an earth where people have rejected him. Come knowing that he would not be loved. Come knowing he would not be accepted. Come knowing that he would be chided upon. He would be ridiculed. He would be mocked. He would be crucified. Yet he came willingly because of his love for you and for me and for every single person. In Romans chapter 5, look at verse 19 through 21. The Bible says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I love the fact that the first Adam was disobedient. And Jesus is often referred to in Scripture as the second Adam. Adam in the Garden of Eden were disobedient to God's command. Jesus came to fulfill every command, to fulfill every prophecy, and to be obedient unto the Father's will. The fact that even when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, no doubt the devil showed up and tried tempting him not to go through with it. Because when you read in Scripture, Jesus cries out, Jesus is praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus knew what he was going to face. He knew what was going to happen. And yet, the first Adam did not submit to the Father's will. Adam did not yield to the command of God. He allowed himself to disobey God, disobey God's command. Yet Jesus Christ, being referred to as a second Adam, though he says, Father, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus came to submit to the Father's will, and the only way for the sin of the world to be paid for was by the blood of Jesus Christ being shed. So when you look at a nativity scene and you see that manger and you see that baby, it reminds us of the gift of God. It reminds us of the love of God and the fact that Jesus came not just to be born, but he came to die. He came to die so that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly. Verse 20 of Romans 5 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness of eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, when we think about the Christmas season, we think about the nativity scene, we think about the gift of God. We think about the fact that God truly does love every single person, that he was willing to come and die for every single person. Not just for the good, but for the bad. Remember, Jesus said that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Because the religious Pharisees, and they were just that, they were religious, but they had no relationship with God. Though they had the word of God, and they were to be teaching the word of God to God's people, yet they were teaching the people to follow their traditions. They were the ones that were condemning people. They were the ones judging people. Every time that they would see Jesus sitting down, eating with publicans and sinners, well, they just accused him. They said, if he knew that person, if he knew who he was eating with, if he knew who was touching him, he would be disgusted like we are. Yet Jesus is the one that told them, I came to call sinners unto repentance. I'm glad that Jesus came. He came to die for sinners. I'm glad he came to die for me so that I might have life. Again, for myself, I can remember growing up and just my focus was gifts, presents, the tree, the lights. That's most people's, focus. And there's nothing wrong with a Christmas tree. There's nothing wrong with decorating for the holidays. But why do you do it? Why do we decorate for Christmas? And it should be because we're worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're worshiping the one who was willing to come to live a life for us, to die for us, so that we would have life. And not just when we get to heaven. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the mansion. One time someone said, well, you know that the word mansion in the Bible just means room. There's just going to be a room in God's house. Okay. So I have a room in God's house, and it's going to be a big room, and it's going to be on Golden Street, because the streets are of gold. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what our mansions are going to look like. I would like my mansion to be in the mountains. I love going to the mountains. Every time we take a family vacation, we try to pick somewhere different. Oh, we'll go here this year. When it comes down to it, we go right back to Tennessee because we love the mountains. We just love being in the mountains. So I have no idea what heaven is really going to look like or what my mansion is going to look like. But you know what? I'm glad someone came to prepare a place for me and you. I'm glad that somebody loves you and me so much that he was willing to come. Again, to lay down his life so that we could have life. When we look at the Christmas season, we look at the tree should remind us, the Christmas tree should remind us of the tree that Christ died upon. The lights that are strung on the Christmas tree should remind us of the light. Remember, John the Baptist said, I'm not the light, but he came to speak of the true light. And the presents under the tree should remind us of God's gift. God's gift. And the fact, like I've said before, God's gift is a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift that has paid for our sin. It's a gift that can fill our hearts with peace that passes all understanding, fill us with comfort when there seems to be no comfort, to fill us with joy when there just seems to be sadness all around. Again, what people need in this world is Jesus Christ. They don't need a psychologist. They don't need a psychiatrist. They don't need a doctor. Because if that's what people truly needed spiritually, then that's who God would have sent. But God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that anyone can receive. But you know what? The reason why he came was to conquer sin, so that you and I could have a relationship with God. God, I know there are many that are going to deny Christ. There are many that will continue to celebrate Christmas without even thinking about the meaning of it. But what is our definition of Christmas? What is it that we celebrate? And again, it shouldn't be just one time of the year. You and I have a God in heaven that will never leave us nor forsake us. A God in heaven who wants to fill us with his love and his joy and his peace. Because whatever we face in this life, I have no idea what 2022 will hold for us. We can look back on 2021, but why not look forward to 2022 on what God's going to do for you and for me? Now, will 2022 be filled with things that, you know, we'd rather not be filled up? Absolutely. But aren't you glad, though, when you're on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm like the disciples, you have Jesus in the boat with you? Jesus is there in your life, because there was a time in your life where God offered that gift to you and you put your faith and trust in that gift, Jesus Christ. And God gave you the gift of salvation because you had put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is. What a wonderful relationship we have with the Lord. If you would, go ahead and